Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. And again, I say this with all my heart, soul, spirit, love for America and love for fine human beings that try to make the country better than it is and bring it back to what it used to be. We have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano. As I say, there's nobody anywhere that I know of, and if you could tell me, I'd love to see it, that respects the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that this country was founded upon, that Judge Andrew Napolitano, and how we've lost all that freedom and democracy, which the morons in charge claim that they invade other countries for, to bring freedom and democracy. We don't have it here. And the judge is, again, world-renowned, and the world-renowned man just got back from Italy. And judge, thanks for being here, and I'd love to hear about what you had going on over there in Italy.
Thank you, Gerald. I was invited to join a group of academics having a conference in the Vatican on the concept of natural law, that our ability to discern right from wrong and good from evil is hardwired within us, and natural rights, that our rights come from our humanity and not from the government. These are the teachings of a man whose work you and I both admire, St. Thomas Aquinas. It was the 750th anniversary of his death, and the Vatican was holding this conference. They invited 25 of us from around the world to make presentations. Wow. And it was surreal. I was living in the guest house in the Vatican, which is where the Pope lives. I'm not a fan of the Pope, but living in the same house as he and seeing him at dinner was surreal, but it was a moving and wonderful experience. A lot of the academics, when they make presentations, are like this, Gerald. This is my opinion of Thomistic theology. And we were like this, cheek by jowl. So when I get up to speak, I got up out of my chair and I said, I mean no disrespect to my colleagues, but I'm from a place called New Jersey, and I cannot talk without using my hands. I'm sitting next to Bishop Robert Barron. I don't want to smack the bishop in the face. It was the first time anybody laughed in a day and a half there.
Oh, funny.
Then, of course, I proceeded to explain basically a summary of my 500-page, 2,000-footnote book on the loss of natural rights because of the Supreme Court and the Congress in the United States. So it's not a happy story to tell. I tried to tell it in as happy a way as I could. It was very well received. Excuse me. The 2 days went by like that. I was there for four, and it was fabulous.
So you know, tell us about it.
The food in Italy, I know you know it. Nothing is processed and everything is super fresh, and people will drive great distances daily in order to get the best of what they want. So without naming names, there's a courthouse in Rome with about 25 or 30 judges in it. They pay for this out of their pockets. They send a driver to Naples at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he picks up the fresh mozzarella and he drives it back to the courthouse, and they slice it and they eat it for lunch 5 days a week. I mean, could you imagine that here? Oh, go to the shop, right, and get some mozzarella that's 3 days old in the refrigerator. No, yeah. The Italians would never put mozzarella in the refrigerator. If you don't eat it fresh, you throw it out.
You know, or else you could go to Olive Garden. So, Judge, again, you went to Italy in honor of St. Thomas Aquinas. And, of course, I love so many things about St. Thomas Aquinas, and I'm not talking about in a religious sense.
Right.
I'm talking about in a common sense. He who is not angry when there is just cause for anger is immoral. Why? Because anger looks to the good of justice. And if you can live amid injustice without anger, you are immoral as well as unjust.
And that is true. And that is also the Gerald Celente that I know and love.
And I am. I'm angry. And, you know, you're talking about the mozzarella in Naples. Now, here's Judge Napolitano.
Right.
And the people don't understand that Naples is different than everywhere else in Italy. For the culture of the people, we're very passionate, loving, kind people. Don't screw with us.
Right.
You got the wrong guy here.
Right, right, right. I have a velvet glove on, but underneath it is an iron fist.
Wow, perfectly said. And again, you know, Naples is what? The richest seaport for centuries.
Yes.
And how many times was it tried to be conquered by the Arabs, by the English, by the Germans, by the French,
by the Greeks? We fought
them all.
Right, right, right.
So we're fighters, we're lovers and fighters. And St. Thomas Aquinas, what you've written in this article, and everybody can see it tomorrow, and again, very important, go to the judge's channel, Judging Freedom. The people he has on, the things that he talks about, you're not going to find anywhere else. You go on to say, this is a hot esoteric subject. Aquinas taught that all rational persons are capable of discerning right from wrong and good from evil by the exercise of free will and human reason. And they do not need the government to aid them in this endeavor. This is generally known as natural law. Judge, what the hell are you talking about, natural law? I'm the government. I'll tell you what to do. Listen to me. I don't care if your mother, your father, your sister, or brother are dying. We got COVID going on, and you can't go see them as they're breathing their last breath. I'm the governor of New Jersey. I'm the governor of Massachusetts. I'm the governor of New York and California. You have no natural law. This is America.
Well, you described this perfectly in characterizing recent events through which we all sadly lived. They trampled natural law and natural rights. I mean, the theory of natural law is it's a restraint on the government. The government is bound by natural law. Of course, it's not. I mean, they all take the oath to uphold the Constitution. Natural law is expressly embodied in the Ninth Amendment. They don't care about it. But if they recognized natural law, we would truly be a free country, because your rights are integral to your humanity and they can't be taken away. If somebody robs a bank, they have given up their rights by taking the property of the depositors in the bank. If somebody steals a purse, they have given up their natural rights because they stole the property of the owner of the purse. But short of that, short of a voluntary relinquishment of your rights, they're permanent and part of your integrity and your humanity. That's what Aquinas taught. So this is not esoteric. This is not historic. It is what it should be today if we didn't have a government that thinks it can do whatever it wants, and you just characterized that government.
It's not they think that they could do whatever they want. They do whatever they want.
Yes, you're right. You're right. They do whatever they want. They don't care about human liberty. They don't care about natural law. They don't care about the oath that they took.
No. Here you go. How do we, how do we know what we know? Aquinas set about to answer the intriguing question. How do we know that we exist? That 2 + 2 = 4, that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. These are truisms. Thus, they cannot change. All the rational people can discern them. They are true intrinsically, whether we believe they are or not. Aquinas taught that all rational adults can discover the truth by the exercise of free will. You have no free will. If you don't believe what I tell you, you believe in misinformation. And as the dictator of America, we're going to put a misinformation cabinet together. Remember that one?
Yeah. As we speak, literally, the House of Representatives is deciding whether or not to ban TikTok because they don't like the messages on TikTok. I might not care for the messages on TikTok, so I don't look at it. What about Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech? Who the hell is the Congress to ban an app or a social platform that people want to use to exchange ideas, no matter how tawdry or unacceptable to the sensibilities of the members of Congress it might be? That's where we are today. A massive incursion on the freedom of speech. And if they get away with it, and they won't, I don't think it'll pass the Senate. If it does, Biden will sign it and a federal judge will enjoin it. But if I'm wrong and it does become the law of the land, they won't stop here. They'll start banning other things like your podcast and mine.
Yeah. Again, they do it all the time. And look at the people that have been suffering from it. You know, all the people that got knocked off YouTube. You know, Dr. Mercola, one after another.
Right.
For coming out against being forced to take the Operation Warp Speed gene therapy inoculation, you know, during a COVID war. You go, Aquinas knew that government is a negation of liberty. We in the 21st century realize that we have a government that is utterly indifferent to our rights. Again, this is what you've written. The folks who run the federal government, no matter which political party is in power, believe they can kill any foe, steal any property, claim any right, declare any wrong, regulate any behavior, tax any event, and insinuate themselves into any relationship so long as they can get away with it politically, all in defiance of natural law. In America today, we see the destruction of natural law principles and the rejection of natural rights.
That is the sad state of affairs of where we are today. The law is no longer based on nature or rights or morality. The law is whatever the lawgiver says it is. And in this case, the lawgiver is the Congress and the president. And it's the same no matter who's there. It's the warfare, welfare, national security, deep state. It's all the same, whether it's Trump or Reagan or Obama or Biden. It's all the same. They borrow more. They're borrowing so much money now that it can't possibly be repaid. I mean, do you know, I heard this figure yesterday. The debt goes up $1 trillion every 100 days.
Yep.
It is impossible to pay that back. The government's going to have to default. And I pity the people that have invested all that money in the government. They're not going to get it back.
No, they're going to come out with a new currency. They're going to invent something to do it. Here we go. This is in your Trends Journal. The U.S. national debt is rising by $1 trillion about every 100 days.
There you go. It's the same stat that I heard last night.
Yep. So it's in your new Trends Journal. And again, you go to
Maybe that's where I saw it.
Yeah. You go to trendsjournal.com. Again, you know, that we just showed the, you know, we do top trends every year. And three of the top trends that we listed with the trifecta. Gold prices, we said, would be a golden year. We said World War III has begun, and EVs go F you. We said this is the thing is a hoax because of the batteries have been invented in 1800. And again, they're not putting the money into research and development. It's going into the military industrial complex. These things aren't. So all the sales are going down the toilet there. But going back a bit to freedom and democracy, you see, you're 100% wrong, because I'm going to read to you part of out of his mind B.S. Biden's State of the Union address. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault here at home as they are today. Wait a minute. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack, both at home and overseas, at the very same time. Oh, yeah, you're the guy that said, no jab, no job? You're the guy that imposed all these restrictions on people in the military, government. You got to get vaccinated, all the things that you did. And then this is the hypocrisy. You ready? Following that line, he goes into overseas, Putin and Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. Talking about freedom and democracy, how we've lost it in America. And now he goes right into, again, one of your top trends, World War III. People been getting this in their head. It's begun.
He's a killer. He has blood on his hands. We finance the slaughter in Gaza, and we finance the slaughter in finance the war in Ukraine. Yesterday, the Defense Department revealed that it found $300 million worth of ammunition and equipment that it hadn't shipped to Israel, and that it decided to ship to Ukraine. It's already on its way there. Just found it. How irresponsible is the branch of the government that receives more taxpayer dollars or money borrowed in the taxpayer's name than any other branch of the Department of Defense that they just found $300 million? Either they can't keep their books or they were lying to begin with. Probably the latter, but
yeah. This is overseas. Putin and Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. They're not sowing chaos beyond in Europe and beyond. It's a total lie. This has been going on between Ukraine and Russia, what, for a couple of hundred years?
Correct.
Since Catherine the Great?
Correct. And that woman that just left, Victoria Nuland, she either sees the handwriting on the wall that Ukraine is about to leave, and so she wants to jump off the ship before it sinks, or she was part of this German plot that was caught on tape with German generals talking about defying the German chancellor. I'm not a fan of his at all, but his instinct not to send equipment, if that's true, I applaud him for it. These generals were plotting to send Taurus missiles to Ukraine in defiance of the chancellor, and apparently Victoria Nuland knew about it and had something to do with it. So no one knows why she's suddenly gone, but she's the orchestrator of the coup in 2014. She chose the puppet government that they put in place of the one that was popularly elected. She claims that we're for democracy, but they didn't like the outcome of the vote, so they threw the guy out and chased him to Moscow. And she's the orchestrator of the war. She said as recently as 2 weeks ago, we have a surprise planned for Mr. Putin. So the surprise was she's gone. Where did she go? Hillary Clinton got her a job teaching at Columbia University. Hillary's students apparently are not happy with her because they're grad students. They're serious students. They thought they're going to learn something, and all they do is hear war stories. Yep. And now she's got somebody else to stand there as well.
Here's your Trends Journal, Judge, from 2014. The United States overthrow of the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine.
Exactly what we're talking about.
This is written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Ukraine presented the perfect opportunity for Washington to advance its hegemonic agenda. In a speech at the National Press Club last December, meaning 2013, Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland boasted that Washington had invested $5 billion in NGOs, non-governmental organizations in Ukraine, for the purpose, quote, to teach democracy. So, and Judge, I want to go on with Biden's speech, because at the end of it, he talks about the United States and supporting Israel. And he keeps going on, you know, he's showing two faces here. the thing that they're going to build a port to bring in humanitarian aid is going to take, what, about 2 months and do nothing, as they could allow humanitarian aid to come in now. And he's saying that they got this thing going on in the media that behind the scenes, Biden is very upset with Netanyahu. What's your take on this?
I think it's a fake that Biden is upset with Netanyahu. Biden wants to create the image of being upset with Netanyahu so he doesn't lose Michigan, where there are a lot of Arabs and Palestinian voters who rightly condemn. All people should rightly condemn what's happening in Gaza, but most Americans are indifferent. They're looking the other way. If Biden were upset with Netanyahu, he would say, "Hey, Bibi, you got 5 minutes to stop. Otherwise, no more jets, no more spare parts, no more artillery, no more ammunition." And Bibi would stop. If Biden were serious about aiding the Palestinians, American trucks would be arriving at that gate and the IDF wouldn't dare stop them. And if the IDF tried to stop them, those trucks would show up with a couple thousand Marines to make sure they got through to deliver food, water, and medicine to the people that Bibi is trying to slaughter. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. These people will be dead before the so-called floating dock is constructed.
What a joke.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The Biden greatest mass slaughter in the post-World War II era.
Yep.
And only South Africa and one other country, maybe Syria, where the Houthis are doing anything about it. Everybody else is looking the other way, pretending it's not happening, saying the numbers aren't right, arguing it's a matter of self-defense. There's nothing to do with self-defense when you're slaughtering innocents. Nothing.
Again, going back to St. Thomas Aquinas and putting all things together, as we do with trend forecasting, Biden goes on, you talk about freedom and democracy. And again, this is a guy, 5 draft deferments. He's about 3.5 years older than me, so prime draft meat during the Vietnam War. He got 5 draft deferments. His last one, he claimed he had asthma, but he used to brag what a great athlete he was. This is the Biden who's not a war that he didn't love. He goes, "My lifetime, you ready? My lifetime has taught me to embrace freedom and democracy, a future based on core values that have defined America." You ready? "Honesty, decency, dignity, and equality."
He's the opposite. His words sound nice, but his behavior is the opposite of all 4 of those. And for that matter, so is every president. Something happens to them when they get in the White House and they want to tell people how to live and kill innocents.
This is so sad what's happened. And again, he ends this speech. "May God bless you all. May God protect our troops." What are you talking about?
The troops are a tripwire. The troops are over there in the hopes that somebody will attack them. And that's the excuse for us to send hundreds of thousands more and to start another war. There's no other explanation for the 1,003 U.S. foreign military bases. 1,003. No one person can name them, is familiar with them, or could justify them.
There's this guy who's playing the prime minister of Poland, Donald Tusk. He came out last week and said, quote, you ready? "The time for peace is over."
Oh boy.
"The post-war era is over. We are living through new times." You ready? "The pre-war times."
Wow. They are just crazy. They're going to poke the bear, and the bear has has nuclear weapons, and Biden has Biden. Here I'm confusing them. Putin has no interest whatsoever in Kyiv or in Warsaw. He just wants to make sure that the ethnic Russians in Ukraine are not killed by their own government, and that Ukraine does not join NATO and put offensive weaponry at his border. That's it. That was the deal that was crafted 2 years ago in Turkey. The agreement, I'm holding my fingers up an inch apart. The agreement was an inch thick. The agreement was initialed by the Russian negotiators and the Ukrainian negotiators. They were ready to sign it until Joe Biden sent that goofball Boris Johnson, then the Prime Minister of Great Britain, to say to Zelensky, don't sign it, don't sign it. We'll back you. The Americans will back you. We'll get rid of Putin. We'll steal back your Crimea. You'll be a great country again, all because of this war. We'll help you fight and win. 2 years later, 500,000 young men dead or so disabled they can't go back to the military, Ukrainian young men. And Putin, within inches of capturing the territory that's ethnic Russian. How do we know what's ethnic Russian? Because the Zelensky government has been bombing them. It would be like Washington bombing a portion of New Mexico where Mexicans lived. That's the moral equivalent of what Zelensky is doing and has been doing, and that the Russians are trying to stop.
Again, what you're saying, you know, these are all facts and people have no idea. They killed in the Donbas region before this began over 15,000 people. And the Donbas, what happened was when they had the coup, they put in that guy Yatsenyuk. And matter of fact, Victoria Nuland was caught on the phone with that guy, another little boy of nothing, Jeffrey Pyatt, who was the UN ambassador to Ukraine, saying F you to the EU. She actually said the word, you know.
Right.
And we're going to put Yatsenyuk, a little nothing of a clown. And then they put in that other guy, Poroshenko. And then again, this isn't my data. These are the facts. 89% of the Ukrainian people, according to the latest poll, the number one concern, over 90%, of course, is the war. 89% government corruption.
Wow. Well, the $300 million that the Defense Department just found, I wonder how much of it is cash. So they might as well put it in the fireplace and light it on fire.
So going back to what he said, we're saying World War III has begun, this little clown boy at Tusk over there in Poland. The fight against totalitarian trends, corruption, and lies is taking place on many fronts. The most dramatic illustration of this, of course, what is happening in the war in Ukraine. We are facing a simple choice. Either we fight to protect our borders, territory, and values, and defend our citizens and future generations, or accept the alternative that is defeat. Then that other arrogant little boy, that NATO Secretary Stoltenberg, last month he said, the U.S.-led alliance should brace for, quote, a confrontation that could last for decades.
Wow. Well, you were right. When all else fails, they take you to war. World War III has begun.
It's begun. And the people have no clue. They have no clue of what's going on. And when you tell them about this, the first reaction is people say, oh, those Russians, you know, they're trying to grip. You know, stop. You know, they have no clue of anything. So I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned of what's going on, and the people must unite for peace or else we're going to die in war. So, Judge, thank you so much for what you're doing in the name of the highest spirit and talking about what you talk about with the facts. So thank you so much for being here. And again, everybody, go to the judge's site and see what he's doing day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, in the name of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Gerald.